But I did enjoy that. Lesson 87, we've been studying the book of Ephesians, and we're in chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the might of his, and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, when we studied, when we was in a chapter 1 of Ephesians, we studied Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. I want you to be turning to Colossians chapter 1. And we've seen how compares Ephesians chapter 1 compares with Colossians chapter 1 and the heavenly government. You were in Ephesians? Go to Colossians chapter 1.
In what verse?
Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Now, as you think about the heavenly government and the structure and the reconciliation program, we have been over that time and time again, and that's the whole issue there in Colossians. He tells us in chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, that all that God has done for you is in who? Christ. It's all about who Christ Jesus is and what he has done, God the Father through God the Son has done in heaven and in earth. That's two different things. Your Bible, in the beginning, God created what? And the earth, okay? That's two different things that he created. And that's two different focuses. And if you believe your Bible dispensationally, from Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, all the way over to Acts chapter 9, where's the focus at?
Earth.
You notice he don't talk about the Bible scholars and the writers and all this. Don't talk about the heavenly program. The focus is on the earth. Because where are they to pray? Heaven on earth. Now, do you pray that, or do you pray to go to heaven? Yeah, amen. So, he tells us that. He tells us that the reason that he did it because of the reconciliation program. He's forming the body of Christ and takes the ranks and positions of authority in heaven and places them and reconciles them back to himself through Jesus Christ. Right now, if you believe your Bible, or if you don't believe your Bible, that's between you and God. But here's the thing. I believe that there's a corruption up there. Okay? That Satan has corrupted 1/3 of the angelic beings, and there's a government structure up there. If the earth is a pattern, remember the tabernacle? What was a pattern after? What was on earth, or what was in where? In heaven. So if you pictured that going, coming down, and that's authority there. So there's authority up there in heaven's positions up there the same as it on earth. We can see what's here on earth. And that is why you're reconciled. If you think about it, he's reconciling those ranks and positions of authority back to himself. Remember, there's four reconciliations. We went through that in the book of Romans. You can probably go back to your notes. I know many of you got your notebook pad with you and all that stuff. One is your personal reconciliation to God. We was aliens, right? You was lost, and God saved you. He reconciled us. And then there's a body of Christ, and then there's a future reconciliation. And then he says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, we now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and filled up that which is behind the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to what? Fulfill the even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to who? Now, that is all a mystery that he was sharing that. But you know one thing I'm asking you, to fulfill the word of God. You ever thought about that? All of it or just the dispensation of grace?
All of it.
Okay. Well, what about Revelation? What about John? Where did they say he wrote that? But what year?
96.
Yeah, I believe that's era. Because I believe it's written about the same time Paul was writing his stuff. Okay? But God, through Paul, says he fulfilled the word of God. You in your hands right now has a complete, fulfilled word. Brother Des calls for full. A word of God. And you don't have to worry about adding more to it. See, I always say this, and you probably already, those pages in the back, those blank pages, don't mean you add to the Word of God, okay? And if people says, God told me something, and you can't back it up with the Word of God, you better run from them people. In the past, what did they do with prophets? They prophesized things, and it didn't come true. Why ain't you doing that today?
We're not under the law.
But the thing is, God gives you a discernment. You better thank God always when you wake up in the morning that he give you another day of grace. Because there's going to come a time over here that he's going to put wrath on this earth and he's going to cause people to do things. And I don't want to be there. Well, I'm not going to be there, to tell you the truth. This is a secret that nobody knew about but is made now known. And now we have the fullness of all that God is going to do, and the fullness of God is manifested in who? And to us. It's to us. He's already been manifested to us. I refer to a movie, Paul the Apostle, and how Luke was saying, "Nobody, we've never seen Christ." You know, Luke was not an apostle. You do that. You know, Mark's not an apostle. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they all... Everybody want to put Mark and Luke as apostles. They're not. Okay? John Mark was not an apostle. With me? Well, we can talk about that later. But the thing is, but how did they see Christ? It was through the writings of Paul wrote about Christ and the faith that he has, and they sing wonderful things through him. How do you know Christ today? Same way, guys. And at the end of, and then he says at the end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2, this is what I'm working for. I am working, I'm laboring, I'm slaving, I'm doing everything I can do to get people to see this. What are you doing today to get people to see this? Do you even care? Many of us got large families. You know, my wife is a baby of 8. I've got 8 in my family. And they've got kids, and now they've got kids. Are we making all men see this? Or are we just like, believe whatever you want to? It does burden my heart. But when you talk to them and you find out where they're at, you say, you know there's a thing of being ignorant and willfully ignoring this? Most of people in the religious realm out there is willfully ignoring the truth that's set forth in the Word of God. And he said, I want you to see because God wants you to see how rich you are. Man, many of us sitting here are retired. Many of us is working for retirement. Many of us may never see retirement. But the glorious things that we have in Jesus Christ, don't we have the riches? Mm-hmm. Man, that's wonderful. And when you see it and acknowledge it and it's wonderful and fantastic, you have a full of assurance of understanding because of this. You understand what God is doing, and it gives you a confidence in that. Dan drove a truck for years and years, even owned his own truck. Okay? You had the confidence that when you started up that engine, most of the time it's going to take you somewhere. You had a confidence that you know how to get from A to B and how long it's going to take you. Okay? That you had a full assurance in that. You know, that's the same way when we study the Word of God rightly divided. You can know for sure without a doubt. But well, guess what? He says in Colossians 2:8. But the devil don't. Who don't want you to see this stuff?
Satan.
Not your wife. Not your husband. Sometimes they don't want you to see it either, to be honest with you. But the thing is, what does it say in chapter 2, verse 8? Beware lest any man what?
Spoil.
They come in and they try to mess you up with a bunch of religious systems. And there's all kinds of them out there in the world. Many of you can name them. Many of you face them face to face, toe to toe, elbow to elbow, whatever case may be. You've been there with them. And he identifies some of them in verses 16 through 18 and down through the chapter. Let no man therefore judge you of meat or drink or respecter in the holy days and new moons or of the Sabbath days. Let no man beguile you your reward of voluntary amenity and worship of an angel, intruding those things which have not seen, vainly puffed up in the fleshly mind. Verse 19, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increased, and so on and so on. He on down through there at the end of the chapter, he identifies some of these people, and you probably named several other ones in there yourself that you've been, you know, fighting with. Then he says in chapter 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are what?
Above.
Which Christ sitteth on the right hand. Set your affections on things where?
Above,
not on things of what? The earth. He is saying that you need to set your mind on a program that God's put forth in the dispensation of grace, which is what? The prophetic program, right? Everybody wants to know the prophetic program. Everybody wants to be a part of what Jesus built in the kingdom. No, it's what? The mystery program. And you focus on the program that God has in effect for you. And the focus on the position that God has given to you. Listen, many of us has focus and at dealing with the task at hand with our job, and we're trained to do that job. But you ever wonder what Joe's doing over here? You know, why can't I do what Joe's doing over here? Or Leonard over here? You know, and it takes you off of who you are and what you've been paid to do and position. And now you start to go over here and it will mess with you. Believe me, it will mess with you. As old as I get sometimes, I get upset because I told you last week about a truck. I made probably some bad illustrations on the will of God in my life when it came to truck that I wanted and all that stuff. By the way, I'm going to take an older truck, and by July I'll get a new truck. So anyway, that type of thing, that wasn't the will of God. That was me saying, this is, I want that truck, because that guy's just got hired in and got a brand new tractor. You don't think that affects you? And you've been there 17 years? Yes. But who you got to say, shake it off. You know, it'd be okay. But anyway, rest down through the chapter. He says, this is another way, what we just read is another way he's saying, be strong in the Lord and the power is might. Then he goes down through the rest of chapter 3 and 4 and describes how to live, how this is to live in you. Colossians 3:5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Verse 8, But none ye also put off all these things. But now. Verse 10, put on the new man. Verse 11 and 12, whether they be Greek, neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, and what's that next word?
Scythian.
What is it?
Scythian.
Okay. I was breaking that down. I'm like, I don't see that in there. So I appreciate you help me out there. Bond nor free, but Christ is what? All and in what? All. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy and kindness. Verse 16. Let the word of who?
Christ
dwell where?
You.
In who? You. richly in all what?
Wisdom.
And he goes down through the thing, and the idea is the light is in the light of who you are. And this is how you should walk. Remember, that's what Ephesians is all about, our walk, our standing and our walk, how we're going to walk. So Colossians and Philippians are practical books of reproof and correction in the light of the truth of Ephesians. You know, you've got commentaries there. We always talk about Romans, and you take Romans. You can't study Romans without looking at the commentaries of Galatians and Colossians. Reproof and correction. You can't study the book of Ephesians without understanding you got reproof and corrections in Philippians and Colossians. They go hand to hand. Now, they wasn't written that way in order, was they? But the way God has laid them out for you and I to grow. Listen, you may agree or disagree, but I don't think Paul knew everything that God wanted him to do from the time he got struck down on the road to Damascus. You know that, don't you? He says, I will come to visions and what?
Revelations.
That tells me something wasn't completed. Then you get over here, Colossians, and see, he says, I fulfill the word of God. So as God laid out Romans through Philemon and the capstone, and you start building in a foundation, that's what very, very important to understand that. As you learn, you grow as Paul grew. And you're like, yeah. Listen, you ever try to share dispensational truth to somebody that just got saved or whatever, and you put that dump truck in reverse? And you start backing up, and you start lifting up that bed, and you start giving them a little Christ died for your sins. And you give them, next thing you know, you're dumping all kinds of Pauline truths on him. And he's just like, you ever done that? I have. Guilty, guilty, guilty. And continue to still do that. I might not see that guy next week. But same. So you got to give them the gospel, give them who his apostle is, tell them what the books to study, and let them study it out. And because you didn't know it all, did you? But as you continue to learn, how you're learning, you're growing as Paul grew, the way it's laid out. So there's an interesting thing in Philippians. In every chapter in Philippians, the issue is Christ. Let's see, Philippians, Colossians. So it's reproofing. Chapter 1, verse 21 says, for to me to live is who?
Christ
is my life. In that movie, they quoted that quite a bit. To me, to live is Christ. It's not me. I'm like, whoa. You know, it's hitting home. It's not about me, guys. It's not about you. So get over it. When Christ died for you and you trusted that and he put that blood on a payment as your down payment, you're no longer yours. You do know that. That's why you can call him Lord. You couldn't call him Lord if he didn't buy you. He didn't pay for you. He's your Lord. Chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which also was also in who?
Christ
is our mind. We think like who? Satan. Right? We think like ourselves. No, we had the mind of Christ. That was their problem. They wasn't thinking the way Christ was thinking, and Paul was reproofing them about it. Chapter 3, verse 10 says, that I may know him. That should be our goal, shouldn't it? How are we going to know Christ? I want to know him as the glorified risen Lord. He's my Savior. I want to know him up there. I don't want to know him down here. I've never seen him down here. That I may know him. Chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things through who? Christ would strengthen me. He's your strength, isn't he? When things are, you know, brother just went through a funeral and he's seen people hurting, you know, and he's seen a lot of people rejoicing. You know, hey, you know, you ever notice at a funeral, you know, you see a lot of people there, don't you? And a lot of people's like happy. Hey, man, I ain't seen you in a long time. Boy, she looks good, don't she? You know, hey, you know, it's a rejoiceful thing if you know you're saved, right? And you move on. It's an awesome thing. He is everything. He is our all and what?
All.
In Colossians, we see the headship. There are more details about the headship in Colossians than anywhere else that you can find. What did I keep sharing with you guys over and over, and I hope it's starting to stick, the fact that you will not find anywhere in the Bible outside of Paul's epistles that Christ is being a head of a body. It's always a king, a kingdom, a head of a body. And you can't live without a head, can you?
No.
Not at all. And in Colossians and anywhere else, and it's about the participation we have with him in future reconciliation of a system out there. That's where it's going to be out there. And don't forget about Philippians and Colossians, guys. They're very, very important books. You know, I shared with you, if you read three chapters a day, starting with Romans, three chapters a day, in 29 days, you can go through the whole whole Paul epistles. In 29 days. If you want to be fast, you can make six chapters and do it in half the time. But just three chapters a day of Paul's epistles. Get up in the morning, you know, instead of flipping on News Center 8 or whatever it is, and, you know, you're sitting there complaining about how your stock market fell or whatever case may be. Open it up, start your day out with reading three chapters. You can do it less than 10 minutes. 10, 15 minutes. 20 if you're me, but you know. But anyway, don't try to study it out. See, if you're like us, oh, we got to study. Oh, don't try to just give attendance to what?
Reading.
And so turn back to Ephesians chapter 6. And don't forget about those in your thinking about Philippians and Colossians. And when he says, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might, those books fit in that important way, guys. And it's a proper understanding of how to do that. Reproof, correction. Doctrine, reproof, correction. Very important. Many of you know that. Sometimes we need a refresher course in this. And that's what I like to do. I like to refresh my mind. If sometimes I have some issues on this. You guys may not have issues with this, but sometimes you might have issues with this. So guess what? It's okay to say, your preacher have issues with that. I have issues with that. So refresh your mind. Chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. When we execute a proper walk in who we are in Christ, when we are strong in the Lord and the power of his might, we instruct, we influence, and we impact who? What we talked about last week. The heavenly places. Who's watching us? They really are. The angelic creations up there is watching you. And you're not going to sit there and, like I said last, you're not going to sit there, hey angels, let's have a Bible study. You're not going to instruct them that way. They're being instructed on who you are in Christ and your position on down here. They don't know what grace is. At least the dispensation of grace. I believe God showed grace and mercy all through the scriptures. Okay? But the thing is, there's never been an age, a dispensation of grace, where he's not down here spanking me and Tom. You know? That type of thing. So, the result is that we wrestle not against what?
Flesh
and blood. Our fight is not against people down here. We make it out to be, don't we? But it's not. But that they are our goal, guys. They are the ones that we want to bring into the body. You know, our worstest enemies sometimes. You got an enemy? I think we all do in a way. We got in your heart, do you want to see that guy go to hell?
No.
In your heart, you really don't. But in your mind, you're like, I'm staying away from him. He's my enemy. He's just going to create more havoc for me. But the thing is, it's not against that. We're trying to win those type of people. We're fighting against a satanic program, guys, and a policy of evil against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual weaknesses where?
High places.
Now, you could probably sit here and say, that's a government. And there's a government I can physically see that I'm fighting with in high places. You know what I'm talking about. Presidents, Congress, state, local. That's high places, isn't it not? But this is talking more about where? Out there in the spiritual realm. We're fighting against Satan's policy of evil. That is where we fight against. And you know what? It's a doctrinal issue and a spiritual issue. Okay? And those principalities and powers and rulers are fighting for their very lives, for their positions, as they oppose us. You think about this for a second. Satan corrupted 1/3 of the angelic beings up there. Okay? You don't think they're fighting for a position up there to stay there? And they're going to fight every tooth and nail they can in spiritual aspects of your life to get you to stumble. And we're going to look at that for a second. Get you to not be who you are, because they want to stay there. They're up there in control, right? Think about it. Who's the prince of power of the air? Hey, there's a government up there. And I'm starting to see this more and more, is that if Satan's the prince of power of the air in the second heaven, okay, and there's government structure up there, where's the ones that didn't follow him at? They're still there, ain't they? So really, they're under their control, aren't they? His control. If you think about it, that's what Paul says, honor authority on this earth, don't we? We don't like some things that we, you know, I got to share this with you. I know it's fresh on my mind. But in that movie, not to give anything away, some of you may run out and spend $7.50 to see the movie today. I don't know. But there was a band of people with Aquila and Priscilla in Rome that wanted to free Paul, because Luke got towed in there with them. And they rebelled against Aquila's authority, saying, no, we don't go against the government, that type of thing. And they went against the government anyway, and they went and killed one of the guards and went up to Paul to get Paul out of prison. He looked at him and goes, what are you doing? You don't do this. You know, in other words, he says, you don't rebel against authority. And is that Romans 13? You know, pray for people, that type of thing. You know, I'm thinking, that's pretty good. You know what I mean? So it takes a lot, because what do we want to do? We want to storm the gates and we want to tear stuff down and all that stuff. That's not who you're supposed to be. But because where's your focus? This world's temporary. Verse 11. This is very instructive of how they oppose. He says in verse 10, be what? Strong? Then he says in verse 11, put on what? You know, you can take those two things to kind of be synonyms. And you're going to be strong in the Lord, and the power is might, and you do it by putting what? The armor. Just any armor? It's doctrinal armor, guys. It's doctrinal armor. And that has been provided for that inner man, your soul, and that is able to you stand in the position who you have in Christ, and you need to know where your strength comes from. Listen, many of us take vitamins, many of us eat right, many of us exercise, and what is that doing? Showing your outer man strong, right? But you know there's somebody always stronger than you are? Yeah. The inner man is where the really strength is. I'd rather talk myself out of getting hit in the face than taking a hit in the face and hitting back. I pulled in a place Friday, loading a backhaul, and I'm counting trucks. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 trucks in front of me. I'm like, boss, and let you know, there's 5 trucks. I walk in there and the guy says, you got an appointment. And your other driver's got an appointment. We're going to load you two first. And you know, I've got a big smile. So I looked at him and said, listen, it's Friday. I'm not getting no fist fight out here. You need to tell these other drivers that. You know what I'm talking about, Dan? They get mad, don't they? Oh, yeah. You know, especially if you've been there 2 or 3 hours and it's Friday. Yeah. And everybody was under. I said, I'm pointing right to you. I'm not doing nothing. You know, they don't pay me to do that. So that's what I'm talking about. You use that mindset instead of... I'm getting in front of you. No, you don't do that. You let people that get paid to do that. You need to know where that strength comes from. And the issue of the armor has to do with winning the victory, guys. You've got to have this on. Could you imagine a running back without shoulder pads, without helmets, going through a line that, what's the average lineman? 200, 400, 300 pounds? Going through there without any armor on, without any pads. How many hits would you think he would last? Well, the average running back with all that stuff on still, what, 4 years? Yeah, they don't have a life there. But you take, turn the book of Luke right quick. We talked about Luke a little bit. Luke. Is it just 11:30?
Yes.
Y'all been sitting here like an hour. No, you've been sitting here longer. Oh, sorry. Thank you. Chapter 11. Luke 11. Now this passage is talking about Israel's situation, but there's an illustration in there about the whole armor. When a strong man, was it verse 21, 22? Mm-hmm. When a strong man arm keepeth his palace, his goods are worth
in peace.
When a strong man keepeth his goods in peace. When you're in the Lord, got the armor on, guess what? In peace. And he says, in other words, when the strong man is armed and ready and has the armor on, he can take care of himself and there's peace. He does not lose any battle. Verse 22. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcometh him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he had trusted and divided his spoils. So that's what I was talking about earlier. You're going to always find somebody stronger than you. You know that. Now, you may not think it when you're young. 20 years old, 22, 20, you're going to fight the world. But when you get as old as many of us in here, you're like, I'm not fighting with you, guy. You know, you got to use it a little bit more. So Satan is going to try to trick you into not putting on what? Your armor. Let me ask you something. Can Satan overcome you? Now think about it before you say yay or nay.
Overcome.
Can he destroy your position in Christ?
No.
Can he affect you in any way?
Sure.
Can he affect you in any way?
Yes.
Only if you let him.
Yeah.
But he ain't going to affect your position. He's not going to affect who you are in Christ. He's not going to take anything away from you. He can't. Okay? But he is after the effect and influence that you have representing Christ as a soldier of Christ. We looked at being soldier. He drafted you being in a soldier. He chose you to be a soldier in Christ. Whether you like it or not, I gave you the illustration a couple weeks ago. I didn't use a naval man. I didn't use a Marine. I didn't use an Air Force guy. I used a soldier. A soldier is a soldier. It don't matter if you're a cook. If you're on an infantryman, it don't matter. You're a soldier first. You with me? Many of us, we are soldiers for Christ right now. Then you get in those positions. And he's going after, and the ministry that you have as soldier Christ are going to have, he is after your experience. How many knows right now when you first got saved? That's one thing. Praise God, hallelujah. Then you started understanding some right division. You know, like, this don't really seem right. This, and you look at it again like, this is, I'm sorry. It's going against what I've been taught, but this is what God, and you get in, and you're doing that, and you start getting a little experience about who you are in Christ and rightly dividing. You got some experience. But before you did that, was you kind of scared? Was you kind of worried and how people was influencing you and Satan was trying to get you not to even study that out? Listen, I was. I told you my thing before. You know, I was caught up on water baptism and altar calls. That's who I was. That's all I've been taught. And I had to come to understanding that those things was man-made and it wasn't for today. And the fact was, once I did that, it was just like my mind opened up and I started believing the words. Not what man does. Listen, many of you love people, and that's, praise God, hallelujah. But you can be sincerely wrong in some things, right? And I think it takes more of a man to stand up and say, this is right. You was wrong. I was wrong. This is right. This is where I'm going to be. And you don't turn around going like, man, Denzel with me? Leon with me? You don't worry about who's behind you. Who's behind you? Christ is behind you.
Amen.
And you just turn and you're like, there you are. You're there because who you are in Christ. Mm-hmm. And he says, put the whole armor of God on, that you may be able to stand in the wiles of the devil. The only way you're going to experience peace and victory is like the guy in Luke 11 does. If you put on the whole armor on, and when you are strong in the Lord and the power of his might, Satan desires for you to not to be able to stand.
Sure.
Notice in verse 11, that ye may be what?
Able
to stand. Back in Ephesians 6. What's verse 13? That ye may be able to what? Withstand. Having done all to what? Stand. Verse 14. Stand therefore. You think God wants you to be able to stand?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're a kid and a little baby and you see him, you know, getting up like this and these weak knees and, you know, stand up. And you're like, come on, stand up. Stand up. And he falls down. And when, you know, you're like, just stand. Won't you be able to stand? And then after they stand a little bit, they're starting to go around the table, you know, and you're so happy. And then they start to run. you're like, fence them in. You know, I know it's evil and not think anything. I would never do that. But, you know, and fence collars is for dogs' yards. You know they put ankle bracelets on people now so they can't go too far?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that could help people stop running, but you know that's a bad thing about it. But the thing is, you want them to stand. And as you grow, you take the position up in Christ and you stay there. And Satan does not want that, guys. I'm going to share this. I'm going to keep going just a little bit more. Notice in chapter 6, verse 11, how Paul points out the method of Satan's attack. He says that you may be able to stand against, not the power of the devil, not the armies of the devil, not the wisdom of the devil, not the experience of the devil. Listen, you ain't gonna match him anyway. He would turn us around inside out in this doctrine, right, in the Bible. You don't want to go toe to toe with him in the Bible. You with me, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But he says, the what?
Wiles.
You know what that means? Many of you know.
Trickery.
It's the craftiest... it's a craft of the adversary. Okay? There's some words I just can't pronounce. I'm sorry. I don't know why we're writing them down. But look, the same Greek word that translates back in Ephesians 4:4 is cunning craftiness. Okay? And that's the only time it is found in your Bible. Now, Ephesians 4:14 says what? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried away with every wind of doctrine by the what? Sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to what? Hey, you think it goes on today? You think it went on in Paul's day?
Mm-hmm.
You think it went on in Abraham's day?
Mm-hmm.
Noah's day? Yes. The sleight of man and cunning craftiness has to do with trickery. Trickery. And it has to do with schemes and crafty strategies and methods that Satan used. Hey, I know some people that trick you. Brother Rodney, he can trick you with coins and cards. Many call that what? Magic, don't they? It's not magic, guys. It's just tricking you. And they ever wonder about this? that for all of Satan's power and his wisdom and his abilities, he has to resort to tricks to beat you? Think about that. Why would he have to do, why would he just have to trick you and not come in and say, take you out of your position?
He doesn't have that authority.
He can't. Why is that? Why can't he just come in and, like I just said, a power and whack you down, and he can't overcome you guys. So get that out of your mind right now. I know some of you wake up in the mornings, you don't feel worthy who you are in Christ. I still do. I still feel like, who am I to teach the Word of God? But then again, you know what I got to think of? It's not me. Mm-hmm. See, it's the Word working through me, getting it out. Me and myself, you guys probably already know me. You know, I ain't worth a hill of beans. But who I am in Christ, it makes a difference in a position. The essence is to trick and to make what is appear not to be. With me? And to make what is not to appear to what? To be. That's what trickery does. And the essence of the trick is to make something that is not true and make it appear to be true. Listen, many of our family members are being tricked today with religion. With the world system. You know, forget about religion. World system. They're being tricked in their own mind. And the thing is, have we sat down and asked them one quick question? Or one simple question? What? I don't care if you don't believe in God. I don't want to hear that. I want to ask you one thing. If you die today, what do you trust to get to heaven? Just point blank ask them. Because you know what? They might not have been ever asked that. They might not have ever been reassured who they were. Don't that make a difference on your thinking? Yes, it does. I remember Brother John, lost his whole mind. Mm-hmm. His mind was gone, wasn't Leon? Yeah. Gone. And he thought he's going to hell. Mm-hmm. There's no way. And the man knew scriptures. Yeah. And you know, he could teach, he could convince, he could show you what the Word of God says about a sinner and how he comes and he walks from death to life.
Witnessed
for years. And he got called up. It's like that cog. It breaks that little cog and it sits there. Like a clock when the battery's about dead and it sits there and just goes and don't move. Mm-hmm. He never got over that until he died. Mm-hmm. Now, and I know what he believed. So henceforth I can only know that I will see him once again. Mm-hmm. See? As a lot of people can be saved and then they get tricked and get convinced of not, and they take their life. See? And I know what a lot of people believe is suicide. That you're not going to be forgiven. What's the unpardonable sin today?
Unmutable.
No, I heard three different things.
Blasphemy.
You say blasphemy. You say blasphemy. You say blasphemy.
To reject the message today.
What's that?
To reject the message today. That's the only part of his sin.
You got to remember, if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, that's speaking evil of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what if you, right before you die, you trust Christ died for your sins? Is he going to forgive you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The only unpardonable sin today, you die unsaved. Yeah. You'll never get out of that. Up to till your death, dying death, you know, last words, you can trust Christ died for your sins and buried, and he will save you. That's the mercy of God. Okay? But the thing is, if you die unsaved, how can you be saved? How can that be, what did I say? Pardoned.
Can't.
Hey, but there's a group out there that says universalism.
Yep.
Mm. And then everybody's going to be, you know where that started? Have you ever thought about that? I'm glad you haven't thought about that. To be honest with you, it's a damnable doctrine. It started in the garden, guys. Ye shall not die. That's where it started. It's nothing new, but we've lost a lot of friends to that. Mm-hmm. Here lately. You know, they're going to say Satan, when it's all said that Satan's going to be reconciled back to God. Yeah. Crazy stuff.
And Paul himself identifies himself as a blasphemer.
Yeah. There you go. See? A blasphemer is an injury, and I did it ignorantly. Now, God took a blasphemer, that blaspheme against Stephen, right? Full of the Holy Spirit. Remember? Israel's program. If you blaspheme against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven you. When did Jesus Christ, God's Son, forgive the nation of Israel when he blasphemed against the Son of Man? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven you in this world or the world to come. That's what the scripture says. This was unknown. So God took a blasphemer. Good point. God took a blasphemer that blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. And did Paul, was he unpardoned? Was he pardoned?
Sure was.
So just remember, we've been taught that blaspheme against the Holy Spirit because the scripture says that. But you trust Christ died for your sins today and buried and rose again. You're pardoned. Your sin debt's been paid for. And you're a free man. That's great news, guys. But the thing is, when you trick somebody, you trick somebody and he comes over and he flips a quarter, and while you're looking at that quarter, he changes his hand and pulls it out of Abby's ear, and we go what? We go crazy about it. No, he just tricked us. You know that. You got quarters coming out of your ear, Abby? If you do, come on up here, I'll shake it. You know, piggy bank's got quarters coming out of here. But when you shake it, Satan wants to cause these things that are real, things that you cannot see, doctrinal, spiritual things, to appear that they are not real. Mm-hmm. See, here's something that you really got to think about. How Satan is tricking people today to think that God is doing things today that he's not doing today. And guess what? Who gets the credit? God. They want to thank God for doing this. And Satan's tricking people, man. So that's why you better know who you are. And Paul says, we don't look at the things that are what? Seen, but the things that are what? Not seen. Can you see where you're seated in heavenly places? Can you see the principalities and powers up there? Satan tries to cause you not to walk by what?
Y'all ain't right out here yet. I don't have nowhere to go.
But right here. So if you gotta leave, you leave. But anyway, look. Satan tries to cause you not to walk by faith. What does the Bible tells us to do? We walk by
faith.
What is faith? Hebrews 11:1.
Substance of things hoped for.
Evidence of things
not seen.
If you can see it, it's no longer faith, guys. Unless you have somebody named Faith and you see them all the time. That's different. But look, Satan tries to cause you that. He tries to get you to accept physical circumstances of things going on around you as being real. Think about that. He tries to what? Trick you. He can trick your mind. You can trick your own mind. You know, I talk about microwaves and cell phones. You know, my mind's been tricked.
Religious preachers, we're listening to it, and they give us a half truth, the same way it was in the Garden of Eden. Now Satan tricked Eve in the Garden of Eden. Give her half truth.
God says this isn't a real thing, guys. This is the real thing. And you have to be in who? Christ.
Can I say something a minute?
Sure, go ahead.
Our position in Jesus Christ, because of our position in Jesus Christ, when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, He's going to be able to present us a church without spot or wrinkle because our position is in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, I hear a lot of preachers say that, you know, this church this year and this one is bad here, but our position, the church, which is the body of Christ, He's going to be able to present us perfect in Jesus Christ because of what Jesus Christ did. Now, we're still living in the nasty now and in the flesh. He comes up, and if you don't know who you are in Jesus Christ and how you are who you are in Christ, that's from Romans through Philemon, then you can get caught up in religion. Because there's some preachers out here that can orate. And that's what he's talking about in the Word. Men that come out there, some do it knowing and some unknown because they don't rightly divide
yeah.
the Word. And that's the difference. Being able to rightly divide Scripture. Think back a few months ago back when the end of the world was supposed to come. Virgo was in so-and-so and et cetera, et cetera. You know, we listened to that stuff.
Oh, you'd be tricked.
A lot of people bought into it. A lot of genuine Christians who love the Lord bought into that. And guess it didn't happen. Didn't happen the way it thought it was going to happen. It's going to happen when the Lord decides.
Mm-hmm. Not when the Gentiles begin.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And we can point fingers at preachers. You know, we can point fingers at TVs, radio programs. Many of us bought into that. Probably got books upon books about all that stuff. I know a dear brother that down in Tennessee that was had a church, started a church, been there for 20-some years, got a hold of this message, and he had a whole basement full of books. You know, all the denomination stuff. You know what that man did? He literally, what do you call that? Stick it in a machine and
shredded
every one of his books. And I said, what are you doing? He goes, I don't want anybody to get their hands on this stuff that I had because it's false. How many would you do? How many would you do that? You know what I mean? I've got books on my shelf right now, and I'm looking at it, and we're getting ready to pack stuff away. There's stuff I'm not going to. I don't want nobody to have. I've got Bibles up on other, different versions, different books about. I'm like, why would y'all want to give that to you? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Why would I want to give you a book about a book that the guy don't even believe what I believe? So those things, even in the book realm, you know, they're out there that you could study them out, and you're like, I'm being tricked here. Because I'm going to believe that author versus the author. I'm going to believe, Ed's version, God's version.
Can I say something?
Please do.
I just think about, sometimes we sit in here and we're in our own little capsule of dispensational truth and listening, and then we leave and have to go out in the world, and you think, with all this knowledge and understanding, can we really be tricked? And then we remember paying too much money for a vacuum cleaner. You know, Dan, we have thought, and I just, how easy it was for that salesman to convince your wife she couldn't have got that product. We bought vacations, cars, and homes, and health benefits. It is so easy.